We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right. Welcome to the corner. We are coming at you from Insert Coins Bar and Arcade in downtown Vegas. Get ready for an hour of wrestling, boxing, and MMA talk. I'm Kel Dansby, journalist for BSO.
And I'm Andreas Hale, the journalist extraordinaire.
And today we are talking about Amir Khan's win. We're talking about Miguel Cotto's upcoming fight, Kevin Owens versus John Cena in the WWE, and John Jones' hit and run video that came out over the weekend.
Stupid. He's so stupid, yo.
But first, we have to talk about the Double XL freshman cover, because you know we do hip-hop on this show, too. This is what we're here for. And Andres just looks disgusted right now.
Man, these freshman lists, man, like, I mean, it's a cool little novelty, but, you know, I shrugged at it like Kanye, and I just moved on with my life. It's stupid, though.
Yo, like, what's a freshman, though? Like, if that's the case, I'm still a freshman.
But see, that's the problem. You put these people on this list, and you go, all right, he's a freshman. It's not like you go to school, right, and you're a freshman. It's like, oh, I don't have any credits. Well, they say, okay, well, if they don't have an album out, right? But I know, like, a lot of these dudes had albums out. What, it can't be on a major label? Well, what constitutes an album? Can it be a mixtape? Some mixtape sounds like albums. What the hell is a freshman?
Yo, some of these people are older than me, so they can't be a freshman. Yo, they're at least a fifth-year senior.
Son.
They're on their red shirt years. Let's go down the list for people who haven't seen it. So we got Fetty Wap. Fetty's been doing his thing. So
yeah,
Fetty,
with the fake dress.
Yeah, even
he
though
got
he's
a weave, dog. Yo, all right, go ahead.
He got extensions, if it's anything. Like, it's extensions.
God, whatever, dude.
And he's like the dude from How High who went and got the dreads extensions.
That's your boy?
Yo, that's Fetty right
that's
now.
That's your man.
And he's a singer, right? He's like a crooner. Like Max B? Everyone stole Max B's wave.
Yeah, everybody wants to be
free
wavy.
Max B. So we got Fetty, got Dej Loaf,
mm-hmm.
Also a singer. Rory, who I can't name a song, but heard was dope.
Rory's dope. I'll give you Rory.
Kid that. Kid.
God, how old is Kid Kid? Man Man. That's his name. His name should be Man Man. Kid Kid's been around for a long time.
He was on the Lil Wayne joint, right?
Yes, man.
What's that, 08?
If you put an 07? O in front of it, you're not a freshman. We're in 15.
Yo,
you can't put a zero in front of anything. Call
gotta be
freshman.
In his 30s.
He's been held back.
OG Mako.
Okay.
He had the one song, but, you know, we see what comes next. Shy Glizzy.
Shrug.
Gold Link.
I like Gold Link. I actually really like Gold Link. Gold Link's dope.
All right. K-Camp.
Yeah, okay.
K-Camp, you know, people ride for K-Camp. Yeah, like, you got a good following.
Another dude who's not really a freshman, but I guess because he's just getting on the scene, we call him a freshman.
I guess. He started
school late.
He's regional. That's what it is. Right. You know, down south, they start their kids late.
Yeah.
That Adrian Peterson joint, they enroll them at like 7 in kindergarten.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, K-Camp's one of those. We got Vince Staples.
Vince is dope. I like Vince.
Vince can spit.
Right.
Like traditionally spit, which is dope. And Tink, who Tink is behind right now.
All-star caliber player right there. Tink is a player to watch.
Multi-talented.
However, when I look at this list, I immediately started thinking of the 2000 NBA draft. When Kenyon Martin got drafted first.
Yeah.
All I see is a bunch of role players here where I'm really not sure that any of them are going to be around in 2017.
I mean, Tink got the machine. You can't go wrong with Timbo.
You can go wrong with Timbo.
Who went wrong with Timbo?
Magoo.
Oh, well, I mean, come on. That's not fair.
That is fair.
That's not fair. Magoo wasn't like a protege. He was like a partner.
As it, but where is he today? Partner.
If that's the case, Timbo went wrong with Timbo.
He did. His albums were terrible. The beats were amazing, but
we're talking about.
Where's Bubba Sparks?
Yo, Bubba was hot for a second. I listened to that him and Jada song right now. It'll never not be flame.
Who else he have? Like Nicole Ray.
No slander on Bubba Sparks.
I mean,
he had the Nelly Furtado chick. He made her hot.
Yeah, but they weren't signed a label. I mean, whatever. Let's keep it moving.
Tink got the machine going, so Tink might be the best out of the group.
It's definitely.
So that was this year's list. None of them are really freshmen. Tink may be, like, the most brand new. Dej, I guess, haven't had an album, but she's everywhere.
I mean, Dej is everywhere. I mean, again, like, I'm looking at this list. Okay, so you look at 2014, right? I know we're going to go back and go over everybody else. But you got, like, Chance. You're like, all right, Chance is a star. Star written all over him. You look at 2013. You had Schoolboy Q and Joey Badass, Trinidad James. Nah. Action Bronson. Like, you knew these dudes were going to be something.
Last year's list was dope, yo. Like, now that I look back at it, you got Troy Ave, Ty Dolla Sign, August Alsina.
Yeah, it was a solid
Chance.
List.
They, you got to start. Rich Homie Quan's been doing his thing. I'm not a fan of Kevin Gates, but, you know.
And no, I'm not a fan of that guy
either. He kisses his cousin, but outside of that, there's people who love him.
Right. But it's like you look at the rest of this list. Like, you just look at this list, and it's really a weak draft. It's like it's a weak pool to choose from. But, you know, it goes to say that, like, XXL freshman list, they did the right thing. They made this list that people are just going to talk about. Like, we're talking about this shit right now. But it's like, what does it really mean at the end of the day?
Yo, you just try to put their name out there, right? It's kind of like we see Al Haymon doing in boxing to bring it together. You know, like, it's like PBC. It's you bring it to the masses, and that's all they want. It doesn't matter if you're a freshman. You know, you don't have to be Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman ain't new to us.
Nah, he's been around.
But if there was a freshman list of boxers, the next person to watch for, Keith Thurman's going to be on that list, right?
That's a good analogy.
Because it's just to the casual person that hasn't heard Kid since 08. he is a freshman, so you can put him on this list. And same thing Al Haymon's doing. All his quote-unquote young finers. Broner's not young. Broner had a build-up. He had a knockdown. He's on the second coming. Broner's a hop, skip, and a jump from having Zab Judah's career.
True, but here's the thing. Al Haymon's managing these people's careers. Is XXL catching the wave, or are they just riding it?
No,
are they creating the wave? Like, my problem with a lot of these things is you're not really creating – you know, buzz for these artists. You're kind of looking at the blogs and going, oh, you know, Two Dope Boys says they're hot. Not Right says they're hot. Pigeons and Planes says they're hot. And then you kind of ride that wave. And then there's always somebody on this list, and you go, how the hell do you make that list?
Word. And there's always people get left off the list.
And we've heard the rumors.
The Ray Schremer kids, like, yeah, they're dope. They might have had the best album last year.
I don't think so. But
like, front to back, their album was fly. Like, you can it's have top that. Five. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like,
top five of the year?
Yeah. Definitely the best party album of the year. If you had to make a genre, they had the best party album of the year.
Okay, we're not going to spend too much time talking about them.
I don't care. People are going to hate my opinion. They say what they want. It is a dope album front to back. They had mad features because, obviously, you know, they have great support and everything,
yeah, of course,
which is cool. But I saw them at South By. They have a good stage show. They got good stage presence. They have star quality, and those kids aren't on a list. Like, I don't know what they're really basing this off of.
But that's the question. Like, when you enter the NBA draft, it's because you play college ball. So it's like, if you're, you know, you're a freshman or whatever you are, you're classified as something for a reason because you put in the work. A lot of these guys, they just kind of pop up. And then some of them, you're like, I've heard him before. And then you go, some of these dudes, like, all right, we're going to talk about some of these flops. But Fred the Godson, no respect, Fred. But damn,
oh,
man.
Fred the Godson. It,
like, everybody looked at him and was like, yo, how the hell did he make the list? Like, who was at XXL that waved the Fred the Godson flag and people was like, yo.
Oh, he's been a lot of places, though. He's been in like 18 cyphers on BET.
Can you name a song from Fred the Godson that you like?
I didn't even know he had songs.
Exactly.
I thought he just said freestyles.
Booyah. Indie Face. That, man, I'm just saying, man, these lists, I know they're doing what they're supposed to do is have us talking. I just don't get the criteria. And when I look at a list like this, I just don't care.
All right, so we had, for this list, obviously, we're not going to grade the 2015 class right now because they're
just
been
put
out. Yeah,
but it's looking like a C minus to a D plus.
Every week we do our pound for pound list. We do our top five. So we're bringing it to the front of the show this week, and we're going to do the top five biggest XXL freshman bust so far.
Go ahead.
So from years past, all that stuff. And for me, I'll go 5-1 like I usually do. 5 Lil Twist. I don't even know Lil Twist still a rapper.
Lil Twist don't know if Lil Twist still rap.
I've never heard a song by him.
He doesn't even carry. He's not even the weed carrier. Like,
yo,
what does
he
do?
I don't know what he did. Like, he got Justin Bieber in trouble once, and then he was done. It was like, yo, you got the Biebs in trouble? You out of here, my man.
He's like that. He's just that guy who's just like around, and you're just like, is he part of the crew? And then nobody really knows.
I don't
just
even know,
like,
if he's still on Cash Money.
He's like 12, isn't he? Well, he's old now.
Now
he's
got to be 12. Listen, man. No one knows where. Right, if you know where Lil Twist is, at him. And then add our Twitter, because I just got to see that this kid is still around. 4, Saigon. His highlight of his career, and it broke my heart, it was being on Entourage for an episode. Like, that was it. Like, I'm still waiting for a good album by Saigon.
I like Saigon, though.
I liked him back in the day.
Like, Saigon's had a mismanaged career. Like, everybody in Atlantic Records had a mismanaged career at one point. Like, Saigon had Come On Baby with Swizz and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And everything was supposed to pop for Saigon. Not really his fault, and he's not really bad. I get it, though. He should have been.
Yo, like, 2004, 2005, Saigon was dope.
Yeah, Giddy.
And by the way, he made the freshman list in 08.
Yeah.
So that tells you something.
Exactly.
That tells you something. So, number three, Corey Guns, made it in 09.
Damn shame, man. That kid
just, he can't stop carrying a gun around with him. I know it's in your name, my man. But come on, we get it. But you don't got to prove it to us. Like, I've seen him in the Bronx. Like, every time I go back for the summers, he's still on the same block in the X. Like, yo, Corey, my man, you know, it's a bigger world than that. Go get some money.
And he's the perfect example of a dude that can spit, but can't make a dope song to save his life.
At all. At all. I mean, it was all downhill when he got taken off of, like, what was he on? Like, a Millie or something? He was on the original Millie joint.
Yeah.
And then, like, next thing you know, it was done.
And like I said, the kid could rhyme. Like, he's amazing. I remember when I was working at BET and he came to the office, I was like, yo, this is Peter Gunn's son? And he spit, like, for me, and we put it on, like, a flip. This is how old it was, like, 2008. And we were like, yo, this kid is, like, amazing. He was just kicking rhymes for, like, hours at the office, and I thought he was going to blow. Then he signed, you know, to Young Money and was, like, just vanished. I didn't understand.
Yeah, everyone vanishes on Young Money besides the Power 3. So, two, I got Papoose.
Pap, oh man,
Mr. Remy Ma, yo, Pap, I remember Buster just waving the flag for this kid.
He was dope. Pap was another cat.
I could never
dope.
Stand his voice, me. Like, I could never get over his voice. I was like, this kid cannot be a star because his voice is just horrible. I can't listen to four tracks of Papoose, let alone an entire album.
Yeah,
and I was in NY for the wave of Papoose. I never got it, and he rocked the size 8 fitted. When he should have been rocking at most a 7 1/4.
Yo, his joint was mad big.
Yo, just swimming Jesus. In a fitted. And he got the towel underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started on old school Papoose. He still rocks that to this day. Number one, Charles Hamilton. Charles had it, yo. Like, Charles, I'm a Gambino fan. I'll let you know right now. I'm a Gambino fan.
I like the kid, too.
Charles was Gambino before Gambino.
Mm.
He had that crossover. Do whatever music I want.
Nerdy as hell.
You're going to think it's hot aura about him, and you're going to buy it, and then disappear.
No, got the ring slapped out of his ass. That's what happened. Got the ring slapped out of his ass. Yo, it changed his life.
I'm going to see him next week, though, talking about this, even though he's number one on my list. He's here with Lupe on the 12th.
Oh, that's right. He is
there
in Vegas.
I'm going to go there, you know.
I mean, his new joint, Rita Ora ain't bad. Like, he's trying to make a comeback. I know that kid has some psychological problems in real life.
He's an interesting guy. Yeah. So we'll see what he brings to the stage. Who you got?
All right. So my list, no particular order. We'll start with Don't Trip. Name a Don't Trip song.
Yo, I don't listen. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Call Don't Trip and ask Don't Trip to name a Don't Trip song. Go ahead, Google it.
Yo, I got to Google Don't Trip.
You could do that while I'm still looking. All right. Don't Trip. He was on, what year was it? 2011?
He's on 2012. Oh, you know 2012. How bad Don't Trip is that everyone else is clickable on Wikipedia. He don't got a Wikipedia.
That's
page,
my point.
Man. I can't even look him up.
You try to click. If you can't click somebody's name, you bust it. If you don't have a Wiki page, dude, there's idiots that have Wikipedia pages. Like, yeah, Don't Trip. he shouldn't have been on the list. Gorilla Zoe. Remember Gorilla Zoe?
Yo, I feel like he had, like, one dope song. What was that?
I don't know the name of it.
Yo, he had a dope song. I'm going to find it. I like the Gorilla Zoe song.
He was on the 2008 list, and Lupe was on the 2008 list. And Lupe was not a freshman. He already had albums. No to Gorilla Zoe. I don't even know where he is. Somebody let me know where Gorilla Zoe is at today. three, and Roscoe Dash. Remember Roscoe Dash was everywhere for
Roscoe Dash. Yo, he had the joint with with Wale, right?
See? Again, you don't remember. If you don't remember, it didn't exist.
I swear Conor McGregor just played that in the gym during Oka.
He probably
workouts.
Did. Conor was playing some hood shit. But yeah, I don't know where Roscoe Dash is. I don't think Roscoe Dash knows where Roscoe Dash is.
Yeah, Gorilla Zoe had the dope joint. Yeah, he had one song.
The name of it?
Yeah, it's released his first single, Hood Figure. That got to be a...
Oh, Hood Figure.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the politically correct version, right?
Yeah.
That's not the song.
That's what that was.
But all right, yeah, yeah. That song was dope.
Yeah, so he was on this. All right, cool. So Roscoe, obviously Fred the Godson, because on that, like, he's on the same list with Lil Twist, and Lil Twist won't be my number one because nobody expected him to do anything anyway. But yeah, Fred the Godson, just nobody even knew how he got on the list. Like, I still don't get it. Number one on my list is an interesting dude. Because he was supposed to be riding Gucci Mane's wave. OJ the Juice Man.
Okay.
What happened to OJ?
The Short Bus Shorty video came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just killed his whole wave. I think down south, OJ still got a buzz, though. I'm not sure. I'm I think they love him for life, though. He's like king down there.
Perhaps.
His name is OJ the Juice Man. If there's anyone who's a rapper we can get on the podcast, I would love OJ the Juice Man. Because, one, I want to know where he got the ad-libs from. Two, why is his name OJ the Juice Man? And three, it looks like he might love boxing. Like, he's one of the guys that just surprise you. And, like, he boxed as a kid. And he just knows, like, crazy statistics. He just looks like
he might be
he
that
takes
guy.
Off the shades, and he's just a super boxing nerd. We need OJ the Juice Man.
He might be that guy. So, honorable mention, though, Ace Hood. Ace Hood, what? Dude.
Ace Hood had a good run, though.
But it was such a weird run because he never had a run by himself. He was that guy who always had a bunch of rappers surrounding him and DJ Khaled, and he looked like a steroided version of Wayne, but he was never that good. I don't remember anything about Ace Hood. I remember everybody else on his songs. So, yeah, Ace Hood.
Ace Hood? I ain't going to give you the Ace Hood one. He just had the song like a summer ago, two summers ago. That was fire. Once again, I can't name these off the top of the dome, but it was fire.
Ace Hood and my man Pill.
Pill's a rat. Was he on MMG?
Yeah, he was. He was signed to MMG around when Wale and all them were there, and then, like, nobody knows what Pill is up today. So,
Pill had to get out of there.
That's that pound for pound list. I mean,
there's so many to pick from.
I know, and I'm telling you, this list is going to be like, it's going to be like the 2000 NBA draft.
You know, I didn't feel like being controversial, in which I could have been, but I left Asher Roth off the list.
You're not even controversial.
Because he can spit.
Asher Roth is dope.
But what has he done? Like, where has he been?
Yo, he fell in the strangest of traps. Like, I love College Joint. Came out, and it became, like, the bane of his existence. And then you listen to his album, which was amazing.
Great album.
Asleep in the Bread out was
mixtape after that.
Yeah.
Like, he's
and he still puts out great music.
Yo, dope. So I couldn't put him on the list. But still, is he a bust?
He's a bust, and it's not his fault.
I feel like real hip-hop fans would be like, yo, Asher can't be on the list.
Because he's
dope. Have you heard him spit all this? Yo, he's dope.
He's very dope.
But is he a bust? Like, I don't know if it's fair to expect I Love College-level stuff for a decade.
But it's just, like, he had bangers. Like, his dream on his album with Miguel, before Miguel was Miguel, was a banger. Like, Asher's had some great, great songs.
Yo, he makes great music.
And he's dope. And I don't know if, like, other white rappers do just fine.
Yeah.
It seems like they look at him as, like, you're kind of too white looking to make it. I don't get it.
But G-Eazy comes out.
That's what I'm saying.
G-Eazy's, like, huge fan base.
G-Eazy basically took Asher Roth's wave. Like, he basically just jumped on his surfboard and was like, I'm out. Peace out, Asher. I'm taking this.
Yeah.
I'm taking all these college kids. But Asher, like, dudes knew Asher could spit. I don't know.
Asher spits better than G-Eazy. I don't know if he gives Logic a run for his money. That's a good
Logic's dope.
Yeah, but as far as that, it's Asher and Logic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Asher Roth should have been
so much
more. He should have been a lot bigger than he was. I mean, the same could be said with, like, Blue, because Blue was so dope. But, I mean, Asher definitely, he had a hit. He had a smash. He had a Spring Break, Show Me Your Titties jam. When you have one of those,
I was in college during that shit. I love that song.
Like,
yo,
I know you saw some titties.
Beer pong, like, what up?
I know you saw some titties over there.
Everybody saw titties.
Pit nipples all day.
No lie, I was in the Rio. And they had a spring break party in One Air Joints, and that song came on, and it was like body shots on deck. You know, like, yo, girls are just like, oh, my God. And the body shots, and it started with, like, yo, raise your shirt above your belly button, to the shirts up to the bra, to the, yo, everything got to come out for free body shots. And they played the song 8 times back.
What school did you go to? What school did you go to then?
At that time, where was I? I was at Southern Utah playing football, but I was down.
Oh, that makes sense.
Here for
No Brothers was at this party, so for like you and like 12 others, right?
Oh, no, that was here, though. It was at the Rio.
Oh, this was in Vegas?
Yeah, this was in Vegas at the Rio for spring break, so it was a whole different thing.
Okay.
Up at Southern Utah, yeah, there was like 10 of us.
All right,
we're
10
strong amongst 10. The Mormons. 10 strong.
Oh, okay.
All right, but we got to actually talk UFC and combat sports and stuff we're supposed to talk about on
podcast.
We do whatever the hell we want, though. Let's talk about your boy, John Jones.
We talk about his ass every week.
He does dumb shit all the time. Actually, he's done one dumb thing. He's done one really dumb thing recently that keeps just reverberating over time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an echo. Like, he can't get rid of it. It just keeps coming back. So, yeah, so we have the 911 call and the video was released of John Jones. Okay, we got to see the inside of his car. This is the first thing
I
saw.
That's the best.
Your man had boxes of condoms, and the officer was like, there's a lot of goddamn condoms in here. and a flaming hot Funyuns and a pipe.
Yo, he had the munch. The pipe I get because it's John Jones and he has a drug problem, obviously. Clearly. At this point. The flaming hot Cheetos.
Funyuns.
Not even Cheetos. I don't even like Funyuns. Who does Funyuns? Flaming hot Funyuns?
I don't know. Do black people eat flaming hot Funyuns?
Yo, you got to be. They eat flaming hot anything. You got to be. You got to be mad high to eat flaming hot Funyuns.
Okay.
And that brings me to my next point. Why do you have mad condoms and flaming hot Funyuns? I know how people's breath smells after regular Funyuns.
And that's the worst, like corn nuts.
So who are you kissing on? How are you going to get it popping and you just got mad flaming hot Funyun breath?
All right, so Ken, let me paint this picture for you. It's late at night. John Jones is at the crib.
Chilling.
Listening to Keith Sweat.
It looks like he listens to Keith Sweat.
He looks like he listens. Like today, he listens to Keith Sweat Nobody. Like it's brand new. He hops in this rented Buick or whatever it was he's driving. He's like, I'm going to hook up with Becky. He looks like he dates Becky's.
All the time.
He goes to the store. He's like, I need two boxes of condoms, some Funyuns, and I don't know what else he had.
You know the Funyuns weren't planned. He didn't have a drink. Four Yo. Condoms, and then like you're walking by the register, and you're just like, oh, flaming hot Funyuns on set.
I might as well have some of these.
Grab
so,
a bag.
So John Jones is really high right now, right?
Super high.
The phone is ringing. His kids are calling. He's not answering. It's John Jones. I got Funyuns and condoms and nothing to drink. So you know he was loaded. Like, how do you eat flaming hot anything with nothing to drink?
Yo, that's his downfall. Like, why don't you grab something to drink? For everyone listening to podcasts, I was at the Mayweather Media Workouts, ran into this guy. He liked my cartoon T-shirt that I had on that day. I think I had my Goku shirt on. Mm-hmm. Dragon Ball Z fan. He gave me one of the best, like, just drops of knowledge of my life. He looked me dead in the eye. Never met this guy before. Shout out to him. He follows me on Instagram. He looked me right in the eye. He said, yo, do you smoke? I said, nah, I don't smoke. He said, do you drink? I said, I dabble. You know, I enjoy a beverage or two on the weekends. He's like, do you like women? I said, of course I like women. He said, yo, so you need to drink coconut water before you go out at night and when you come right back in the house. If you're like, yo, if you come in a crib with a woman, you drink the coconut water right there. It's like if you smoke, you drink it before and after. If you drink, you drink it before and after. Hydrates you. You feel like $1 million. No hangover. Drunkenness gone. You're good money. Take that for what it's worth. Nobody out there, don't say I didn't tell you. A coconut water before and after, you do whatever you want. You feel like $1 million.
You tried it?
I've tried it.
Why did this? I just wonder why this man offers you this information.
Yo, it was so random. It came out of nowhere, left field. Like, 1 minute we're talking about our favorite Dragon Ball Z characters. Don't ask why, that's where the conversation went. And then we so happen to have the same favorite Dragon Ball Z character, which isn't like a normal one. And then
go ahead and tell people who it is.
No.
Like, you can't just put it out there.
All right, so our favorite Dragon Ball Z character was Future Trunks. So okay. Happens to be, and it was just mad random. Uh-huh. So he was like, yo, that's my favorite too. I was like, oh shit. He's like, no one ever says that. So he was like, yo, let me drop this knowledge on you. And I think maybe only stoners still like Dragon Ball Z. So when he knew, like, yo, he really likes it, he was like, yo, this guy must really like weed. And I was just like, no, I don't smoke. Like, I'm just kind of a cartoon nerd. So, but he still dropped the jewel on me. So everyone out there, coconut water, Vita Coco is a mad bomb. We need them as a sponsor, by the way.
Yeah, we do. Now back to your boy.
John Jones.
Who's listening to Keith Sweat rolling in Albuquerque, New Mexico with Funyuns and mad condoms. And runs into somebody. And it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to get out the car and leave. Hi. He didn't grab the Funyuns. You know, the Funyuns weren't even open.
They weren't open. He didn't even get to enjoy the Funyuns.
What a dick.
Like, that's the thing. Like, he just got mad high and forgot he was hungry.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe he was saving them for the crib. Maybe him and the girl together were going to eat the Funyuns.
Maybe.
Like, is that the new wave? Like, when you show up at a girl's crib, you'd be like, yo, hold on. I bought you this bag of Funyuns, and I got the condoms popping. What up? Just present her with the whole platter right there. I got Funyuns. I got condoms. What that mouth do?
But he's got a wife and kids, man.
He wasn't thinking about them right there. So does half of the athletes in the world have a wife and kid.
Clearly he wasn't. So, yeah, so that's what happened to your boy John Jones. And that one call comes out. The officers, like, they were like, hey, is he an MMA fighter? Because he's got his trunks in the car. Nevada State, drug tests in the car. Like, God damn it, John Jones. Like, what is wrong with you, dude? Like,
did a horrible job of, like, the getaway part of that.
Yo, he, like, John Jones used to come on TV and just kind of, like, tell everybody everything he did that night. just in why he did it. I bought Funyuns. I listened to Keith Sweat. I ran into a broad. She was ugly, so I ran away. I left a bunch of money in the car. I came back to get this shit. I'm sorry.
I don't even want the I'm sorry. Like, just walk off like a boss. Just drop the mic. I did it. Boom.
I need to do like, something. That's your boy.
That needs to be a 30 for 30 ASAP.
Yo,
you got people. You got director people. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, he's clearly on that path. Like, he's in celebrity rehab 30 for 30 territory right now. Like, if they had, like,
he's a VH1 MMA, special?
Yeah, like, if they had MMA wives, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yo, I'd pay money to see MMA wives. Good money right now.
I would love to see it, but... Yeah, that's where he's going. That's your boy. I don't know when he comes back.
That's a damn shame, John Jones. That video, I don't know if he comes back. That's as bad as, like, the Ray Rice joint.
Yeah,
it's up there. Like, it's damning. Like, people aren't going to forget that.
Tough times.
Like, next time he fights, though, if he comes back, I'm showing up to Media Day with the biggest bag of Flamin' Hot Funyuns. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to just be eating Flamin' Hot Funyuns. I don't even like Funyuns.
You're going to make that man upset.
I'm going to send a message. We got to send a message. Got to take a stand.
Well, I know what? I'm not bringing condoms, so I will leave those at home. So, John Jones, you carry around a bunch of condoms.
Maybe they were a new sponsor. That's how he got to explain it to the lady at home. You go home to the old lady, like, yo, I messed up. I bounced on a wreck, all this stuff. But the condoms, Trojan was sponsoring me. They just came through. They sent me a package of mad condoms.
And I wear them while I train. Like,
that was what? It. Not they just wanted me to have a package of condoms. They're the newest sponsor.
Just
they're putting food on the table, babe. I can't turn that down.
Just John Jones, man. Like,
that's how you flip it. John Jones, spokesman for Trojan Condoms.
But I mean, dog,
get your Magnum on.
Yo, his wife has got all this egg on her face. Like, every day, every time somebody sees her, they just laugh at her.
She got money. Who cares? Listen, when you're a wife of a prominent athlete, you better be comfortable with going to bed with that money. Because the percentages are that you're going to get cheated on, that your boy is going to be on media takeout, that they're going to be on TMZ, and that is what it is.
I'm just saying,
the money, like, keeps you warm at night.
She was there from the beginning. So it's always different when you're there from the beginning with an athlete. Because you don't look at him as John Jones celebrity. You're like, this dude that knocked me up a few times, wouldn't marry me, and now he's a star and he's got our kids. I hope he does the right thing. And then he doesn't.
No, he just got caught with hookers 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but this is what John Jones does. And, like, she knows it. And now it's like
he's just reformed.
You know, she's sitting like, again, John? Like, can't you just keep this shit to yourself? Like, why do we have to keep doing this publicly? You're making me look like an idiot. She was managing his career.
She was.
She's going to Shane Mosley him. She's going to take that title belt that he has. Like
she's going to take half.
Like, Jen took from Shane Mosley because, you know, Shane lost his title belt in a divorce.
She took the title
belt. She don't need that shit.
No, fuck that. She got to wear it around the crib. Just to show who's boss.
Oh, man. But, yeah, John, I'm sorry. Like, it's going to be – because all she's going to do is divorce him and take all his money.
Yeah.
If they're married. I think they're married.
I think they might have just got married.
That was stupid on John Jones.
Listen, if she leaves him, she get mad child support, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Shout out to her. She's getting dope regardless, so she's good money.
Enough about your boy.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Carlos Condit fought, though, to get back to some honest MMA and an actual fight. People beating each other up.
Yo, we didn't even preview the fight last week because we were still hung up on Cormier and Johnson and that whole card. We didn't even talk about – like, I thought it was going to be a great fight, but I was worried that Condit was going to have some rust. Nope.
He did what Condit does, beat the hell out of people, a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Those elbows were, whew.
Ooh, the one he threw up the middle, I mean, he pushed Alves' nose to the other side of his face.
Yo, Alves' nose was all up top. Like, I don't know how you even fix that. It was up by his eyebrow.
Yeah, that was nasty. That was nasty. And it makes you think, when you watch that fight, you go, oh, yeah, he's ready for a title shot. Like,
what else is there? That's what you ask. What else is there?
Yo, he's a dangerous dude. Like, Carlos Condit is a legit... He's a threat everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And you look at how great his striking is, how sharp he is. Guys like Johnny Hendricks, who are really one-dimensional in striking, will have a problem with Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit and Robbie Lawler is a great fight.
Yeah, because Robbie will stand there and take elbows to the face and try to throw haymakers.
They will bang. And I mean,
Too bad Robbie is not going to be the champion to face Carlos, but it is what it is. We'll get there in a couple weeks.
Yeah. You really think Rory's going to beat him?
Rory's going to win.
Rory wants a piece of Carlos too, so you might have something built in already.
Yeah,
he wants that rematch.
Yeah, Rory's ready. He's hungry for it. Carlos did his thing though, so that was a great fight. What other fights do we have coming up now? Actually, before we get to this weekend's fight, UFC 188 is around the corner.
So
did you even know about that? Like, does anyone know about that?
Mexico knows about it.
That's, whoa. Yep.
All of Mexico knows about it.
Because we are in Mexico. Like, that's amazing because it got buried by the greatness of Conor McGregor and the UFC pushing the greatness of Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, they really wanted to get a fight in the Mexican market and have Cain headline against Fabricio Werdum, which is a great fight. Gilbert Melendez is on there. Is he fighting Alvarez? Is that the fight?
Is he? I got to look it up.
It's too many. This is why there's too many UFC fights. I should
too
know
many
this.
UFC fights.
Like, I should know this, but it's, you know, they're doing this for Mexico. Now, I've heard some interesting things about the Mexican contingency of UFC MMA fans that I heard they really just don't know anything. They just kind of show up and party and have a good time.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it
they
at
like
all.
To see people get the shit beat out of
I would be quite interested in seeing how this card turns out. And hopefully Cain will stay healthy because it doesn't ever seem like Cain can stay healthy long enough.
Yes, Melendez versus Alvarez, which is good. As the co-main, we have Kelvin Gastelum.
Oh, yeah, on this card. Fat Gastelum. Yeah, he can't.
Yeah, they made him move up, but he'll cut back down. No. Who else is there? Tisha Torres versus Angela Hill, Angie.
Angie Hill, she's
yo,
a great
Angie's
striker.
Hilarious on Twitter. Shout out to Angie.
Yeah, she
we
is.
We
got
to get her on the podcast ASAP. She's one of my favorite Twitter followers, yo. Angie's super dope, and Angie can fight, so that's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, so it is Alvarez and Melendez. Gilbert Melendez, Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, it's a good card.
Champion versus former Bellator champion. Yeah, no, I mean, Marquardt versus Gastelum, this is a good card. It's a solid card. It's just that nobody cares right now.
Nah.
Everybody's looking forward to McGregor and Aldo.
They buried everything coming up.
Yep.
No one cares about any of that,
nope.
Which is crazy.
Yep.
Well, actually, we care about UFC, but we got to get on to talk about WWE. So we're going to take a quick break. Thanks, everyone, for staying with us and all of our crazy talk to start the show today.
Yeah.
Told you guys it was going to be wild.
Always.
So stay tuned. We're talking WWE, Kevin Owens, and Samoa Joe. All right. Welcome back. What up, everybody? So we told you we're talking about WWE and pro wrestling and ROH and NXT and everything else in the bag. And we're back to talk about it. So, first, let's talk about WWE and the crazy amount of pay-per-views we just had.
Yes.
Back to back to back. And we got another one.
Do we still call these things pay-per-views?
Are they not? I mean, I don't pay-per-view. I pay my $9.99 a month.
Yeah, I'm paying to watch whatever the hell I please. I ain't paying per-view. I'm paying for all the views.
All the views on the network. The network.
The network with all the views.
I'm a huge network fan, by the way. I'm so glad they did that.
Me too. But, yeah, I mean, Elimination Chamber just rolled in. We're going like 2 weeks. We got money in the bank. Yeah, it's busy. You know what I'm saying?
And Elimination Chamber wasn't just a throw-in card. It wasn't a whack card. Like, it was legit. Yep. And Owens versus Cena made it.
Yo, we'll just start there, okay? First of all, I'm one of those wrestling fans who watches wrestling, but I do other things while I watch wrestling sometimes. Like, I'll watch and I'll be like, all right, I'm going to play Candy Crush. All right, I'm going to handle some paperwork. And it'll be on in the background. I was fully invested in watching Owens and Cena wrestle. Then, as the match progressed, I was like, oh, this is really good. So, like, first of all, Owens teased the package pile driver.
Oh, so dope.
And I jumped
out. I went crazy.
Yeah, I jumped out my seat. I jumped out my seat. The inverted suplex off the top turnbuckle, I can't believe Cena took that bump. Yo, Cena's like $1 million right now. Like, Cena and Triple H, two guys that everybody loved to hate, you love them now. Because Cena's like putting everybody over. Kevin Owens won. Clean. There was no crotch shot. There was no outside interference. Kevin Owens beat John Cena straight up at a pay-per-view.
Yeah. And yo, I couldn't believe it. Because Super Cena was kicking out of everything. And he kicked out of the AA, by the way, which looked way better when Owens did it.
Yeah, it did.
Than when Cena does it.
It looked like he really tried to hurt him.
Yeah. It shit looked incredible. The height on it. That's how it's supposed to look.
It's Kevin Owens.
As much as you hate the AA.
I hate it.
That looked great.
Yeah, it did.
And Kevin Owens hitting like a moonsault off the top rope. He did the crazy jumping transition. Like,
yo, people forget how agile Kevin Owens is, and it's like he brought the toolbox. Like, he was take no prisoners, and you got to give credit to Cena because he was like, "Give it all to me, like let's do this." And these dudes went, and Owens won clean.
I couldn't believe it.
I lost my shit.
And then cut a crazy-ass promo at the end. Like, it was nothing.
Props to Cena for rolling out of the ring immediately and giving Owens his moment. Like, other guys would kind of douchebag it up and linger around so the camera could hit him. Like, Cena left the ring immediately and let Owens do his thing.
Yeah, Cena's putting his kids on. Like, I'm not mad at Cena right now. Nah, this is the best I've seen of Cena in years.
Now, we all know they wrestle again in 2 weeks of Money in the Bank.
Oh,
chances are
Cena's going over.
Yeah. Hopefully, I hope Cena is about to go over and Owens just gets DQ'd on some douchebag. Like, I just, that's what I would rather see because it protects Owens. Owens is your NXT champ. And he just beat a guy who's been champion like a billion times. Clean. Nobody beats Cena clean.
No.
Like, it's like, Cena wins again, LOL. That's what we usually have. It's like the same old thing. But, nah, man.
I'd like to see the nice build-up coming through with, you know, him beating Cena again, which would be great.
Which would be remarkable.
And I don't even care if he has to do it dirty. Hit him with a chair when the ref is down.
You did it clean.
Yeah. Just win again. So he gets two dubs over Cena and then loses the NXT title to Finn and say, you know what? I may have lost my NXT title, but I'm coming for a better championship. Cena, put the belt up this time. Let's go. And go into SummerSlam with a great storyline for the both of them. Cena, U.S. title finally on the line against a guy who's beating him twice, who keeps attacking him. And then if you want Cena to win and keep the title, you keep the title on Cena.
You know, while I like the idea, and it's not completely too far-fetched, I think this all sets up the return of El Generico.
Oh, I think so, too.
I think everything that we're doing right now.
I'm losing my shit.
Let me paint a picture for you. Let me paint a pretty Picasso picture. Well, Picassos aren't pretty. Let's go Van Gogh. We're going to go Van Gogh. All right, so Sami Zayn got destroyed. And in real life, he's injured. Sami Zayn, the problem with Sami Zayn coming to the main roster is he's just Daniel Bryan diet. That's all he is. He's diet Daniel Bryan, the underdog who's got to come up. However, he's been destroyed. He's hurt. Owens is moving up to the main roster. You get to the Royal Rumble. Owens goes on some crazy run, right, where he's just destroying people. Either clean or unclean, this dude's just winning match. So you got Kevin Owens, the Final Four, right? And it looks like it's his moment to go to the WrestleMania. The whoever is next hits, it's this dude in the mask. Now, we know who it is. It's El Generico. Generico runs down, throws him out the ring. But he doesn't just throw him out the ring. He jumps out the ring with him and just proceeds to beat the living shit out of him throughout the arena.
That's the ultimate slow play, too.
It's like you get this slow burn, but now you open WrestleMania with Generico versus Owens. And I don't even know if you call him Generico anymore. I have no idea what you call him. But you got to bring the mask back because, for one, kids like masks.
Yeah.
And nobody's buying a Sin Cara mask. So just keep it real. Nobody's buying a Sin Cara mask. To have a white American in a mask would be great for white America. Just keeping it real.
All right.
It's just, you know, it's like, oh, my God.
Shit on Mexican Americans and their heritage.
I'm just saying, like, people love Rey Mysterio, but El Generico works for just so many different reasons, and I won't get into all of them. But you head into Mania, and these two kick off Mania at Cowboy Stadium in a ladder match. Generico versus Sting.
That's incredible.
Somebody's going to die.
Yo, these young guys can go, so I want to see as many of them up as you can. But how do you play Owens as the monster when you have a true monster coming in Samoa Joe?
Well.
Because even before, that was Joe's angle, right?
Well, see, Joe's a different kind of monster.
But Joe was a monster.
Well, yeah. He's,
like, he didn't lose until what, Angle?
Damn.
When he was.
I think Angle was the one who beat him in TNA.
In TNA, it was like 2 years damn near.
Well, yeah, he crushed everybody. The problem, like.
That's how you got to bring the Joe's gonna kill you and all that. Like, you gotta bring Joe along like that, right?
Yeah, this is a thing that piques my curiosity about Joe. The fact that Joe made his in-ring debut on like Superstars, like on a dark match.
Oh, it got cut too.
It bothered me. Like, why did that happen? Like, I know what they're doing. They signed him to a full-time contract because they don't want him to be on TV with ROH. I get it, but to be on Superstars, I'm like, I don't know if that bodes well for his future.
No, I guess what I read from the geek blogs that I read and everything and the rumor alerts and stuff. I guess Vince wasn't sold on it and Triple H was, hence the trial contract and go do whatever you want. And that was his one shot. They said, we'll give you a match against a main roster guy. And Vince said, let's see how he does against Tyson and see the response from everyone. And this will be the determining factor if we give him the contract. And Vince left there and said, sign him. And that was it. And then I guess now it's Triple H He told Triple H, like, I guess he's telling him with a lot of these guys, you can have control of it. Do what you think is best. You fuck up, I'm taking her away. And he hasn't struck out yet.
No, like, Triple H is batting 1,000 right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's inked Joe to the exclusive deal, except for what he already has scheduled.
Right.
And Joe's going to go to NXT and bubble like the rest of them.
I mean,
and which I know you didn't want to see Joe in NXT. You think he's main roster ready, and who can argue against
him? He's main roster ready, but he's main roster ready in the way that, like, Seth Rollins is main roster ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, we see what Samoa Joe can do in the ring. But to go back to your question, is like, it's going to be hard because to build Owens, the way that you got to build Owens is the fact that Owens cuts one of the best promos in the business already.
Joe cuts good promos.
Joe does too. Yeah. Joe, I mean, don't get me wrong. Joe cuts excellent promos. But Kevin Owens has just a certain douchebaggy, like, the whole thing hangs, like, I fight for my family is something we can all relate to. And it's like a by all means necessary with him. He's not like a coward. He does his things on his own terms. So in the long run, it's like, you know, to book him against Cena, to have him start crushing. I don't know who else he starts crushing. Look, he can crush Ziggler. I don't care. And I love Ziggler. I love to see Owens just kind of crush some of these guys.
Oh, Ziggler losing to Ryback and all of that must have broke your heart.
No, it didn't. And I'll explain that later. But the whole thing is just, I know what they're doing with Owens, and I just hope they don't blow it. Because it makes perfect sense. Joe, I'm just really confused at what they're going to do. Because if you look at the NXT roster right now with the injuries, they're kind of in trouble in a weird way. Because they have a lot of talent because Wuha Nation's coming. Was this brother ever going to get a name? He's going to be a super black man, right?
Yeah, for a second. I mean,
buff black guy with a smile.
They might let him rock. I mean, you see what the merch did for Samoa Joe. It sold out
and
in like
Owens.
A day.
Owens was the top selling thing that night.
Exactly, with the KO and everything. It was
with the fight,
subtle
Owens fight,
change,
which
yeah.
they hijacked from Owens when he was Kevin Steen days.
Yeah, I mean, they hijacked everything. They just ran with it.
Yeah, I mean, the Balor Club, like Bullet Club's like, what the, come on. Like, really? Like, you're just going to take everything,
right?
I want
one of those shirts, too. I was on a waiting list. I'm
yeah.
tight.
So, I mean, everything about Owens is golden right now. Having it in the SummerSlam, we'll see if he sticks on the main roster or if he comes down.
And then Finn has to get the push too.
But see,
Finn has to be that guy, and then Samoa Joe has to run through, and Samoa Joe has to fight Rhino for a month, and then he has to finally be the one who gives Corbin his L, and gives Corbin, who's huge, a muscle buster, and then you say, Joe, you can fight the small guy like Finn, and you know.
I mean, Joe and Finn is an amazing battle, but
Joe's wildly athletic and can go with these super small guys, which is great.
Again, he's always been my favorite. He's one of my favorite performers of all time. Just watching him go he was loyal to a fault with TNA. Yeah. Like when they were ruining his career, he should have found somewhere else to go. Because they were just like, you know what? Sorry, Joe, you're just gonna lose a bunch of matches, and you're gonna be in some weird crew, and then you're gonna like do stuff, and we're gonna forget about you. That's how Dixie Carter and them treated him. Joe's a great talent. Finn Balor, on the other hand, is also an exceptional talent.
He's a superstar.
Who I just seen on the wire come across. He's wrestling Owens on July 4th in Japan, which is going to be amazing on the network. Woo! That's going to be dope. But Balor's going to turn heel. It's coming.
Oh, with the Balor Club and everything?
It's inevitable. That guy can't. There's too many faces in NXT right now. Owens is your only heel, and he's feuding with like 10 people right now.
Yeah.
Like Alex Riley, like anybody who gets in his way, he feuds with. You need another heel.
No, Balor has to be a heel and
he'll be the one.
It's dope to see him with, you know, like Enzo and Big Cass and all that stuff, and he's been working with them, and they just had a triple threat like a couple weeks ago and stuff. So it's dope. You see the formation of that Balor Club type heel entity coming around.
Well, you know what it's going to be. He's going to be the one that hurt Tommy. You know that's what it's going to be.
Oh, God, that'd be so great.
Because they were in a three-way dance for the number one contender. Tommy's out for a long period of time. Balor and Tommy in Japan, that's $1 million right there. Tommy's never going to turn heel because it just doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah. They don't know what to do with his character at all. But
Balor's a born heel because when he was in when he made the Bullet Club, the dude was just so over in Japan. It makes sense. The only problem with it is his entrance is so dope, you can't boo it.
No,
so it's like you're just going to be like, I just got to cheer this. Like the kids will be like, I love this shit. Like, I love it. I love it. And boo. Like we boo it because we're supposed to. Same thing with Owens. Owens is over right now.
And Balor just needs to get better on the mic. His promos have to get better. They have to let him open up.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
And, you know, bring out that Bullet Club-like mentality where it's us against everyone else.
Dude, Balor is like he could be like a modern day Ric Flair in terms of like personality and flash and flair, and gets all the bitches. Like Balor's, he's boned somebody in that NXT locker room.
Oh, some. Oh God, just tell me it's not Charlotte. Ugh.
No, nah, I don't think it's Charlotte.
Becky Lynch, by the way, Becky Lynch got it. You know, Sasha's still Bay.
Well,
but Becky
knows
Lynch
that.
Got it. What
everybody
up, Becky?
And everybody's been talking about Alexa Bliss's cakes. Like it's like NXT is just winning right now. Just period. Like the girls are winning. It's winning. But let's go back to this Elimination Chamber, which was, I'll talk about the title match in a minute. The Chamber matches sucked.
Oh, they were horrible. I mean, the tag team one was whacker than I thought, but the IC one was the worst match I've seen all year, probably. Well, this calendar year.
Let's go back to the tag team one real quick. First of all, what the hell was Kalisto doing trying to climb up on the cage for like a half hour? Like, he spent half the match trying to climb up the cage, and then when he got up there, I thought he was going to do something remarkable. He just kind of fell on everybody, and everybody waited from him. I know in the arena it had to look really terrible, because on TV I was like, what is he, like, what the hell?
Yo, he started swinging. I was like, okay, backflip.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do a flip corkscrew. He just fell.
Yeah, I was like, that's horrible.
He, like, he got shot out, like Duck Hunt. Like, somebody shot his ass out of the sky, and he just fell. That was terrible. You know what else was terrible about the tag team match? And this is all Elimination Chambers for that matter. There's too much time before they open the door. So you have 4 minutes of guys just kind of going. So it's like it takes 20 minutes for everybody. It's not the Royal Rumble where it's just utter chaos.
Yeah.
It's just like
they didn't cut down on the time.
Yeah, like the Matador is like, I don't care about them. And then
they had the stupid little bull on top of the cage. Yeah, he really didn't do anything.
The whole thing was dumb. Now, the worst part of it all is like I was happy to see Primetime Players and New Day at the end. I was surprised to see Kid and Cesaro out.
We're gonna have black champions.
Yo, five Negroes were in the ring. Like there was five black people in the ring. And I was like, yo, this is a moment in history.
Yo, like, we're guaranteed black champions.
Yo, but then Titus O'Neil just looked so sloppy in there.
Well, they got to be like ring rust, right?
I don't know what it was, but everything, he's just kind of throwing people around. It was just like, and nobody like really knew what to do. So the end was like anticlimactic as it was. And I was just like, damn it, you put five black guys in the ring. This is what happens. Like, yo, it hurt my feelings. But as a whole, like the match was just kind of booked crappily. And I don't even know if it's a word. I just made it up.
It's good. It's good. We're rolling with it. It was crappily because it was like.
It was stupid.
The night was a little sloppy, but it was like a.
Oh, yeah, the Ascension were in there, too, and they sucked.
So. Oh, they're horrible. The night was a little sloppy, but I liked the main event.
Wait. Because we can talk about that, because we have to talk about the dusty finish in that. But IC Elimination Chamber, why is Mark Henry in that match?
Yo, so I had a good theory. I forgot who I was talking to. I might have been talking to, like, Brett, who was on the show, Brett Lawson. And he was like, yo, Mark Henry had to go in because the Elimination Chamber was set up for like a malfunction and for someone to break through the cage, and you needed someone big enough to actually look like they broke through, in which Mark Henry still messed it up and just walked out of his cell early. It's supposed to be for the big person to come through and bust through and enter into the chamber. And I thought, okay, that's a dope idea. So if it's Rusev, you have him literally break down the door and he looks great. The hell with my time. I come to crush you. And then he just comes in and starts busting ass.
Right.
So they needed someone of that mold, of that size. Everything was choreographed and set up for Rusev. And he got hurt 2 days before the pay-per-view.
Right.
So you got to find someone. Yo, you built like Rusev? You in here.
Mark Henry.
I mean, I personally would have liked to see Bray Wyatt, but he can't take an L like that right now.
He's got to stop taking L's. He took an L on Raw. We'll talk about Raw in a second. But.
And Rusev... It, to me, it's whack because they gave Ryback the belt and clearly Wyatt just dominated him.
I mean,
2 weeks earlier.
Oh, yeah. All right,
and,
so look.
And Rusev got the strap.
So look, I thought, I was like, all right, Sheamus is going to win this thing. As soon as I watched it, I was like, this sucks. Sheamus is going to win.
I did predictions. I predicted the same thing.
So the match is happening. And again, we go with these 4 minutes before they open the damn cage door. And then Sheamus is like locked in the cage. And did he just botch opening the door? Like, because the little referee guy was like, I can't get it open. And Shane was like, yo, you're not entertaining. He opened it like, oh, I screwed up. Ha, ha, ha. Funny Irishman. And so, like, I'm watching this match. I think there's a moment in the match. Like, R-Truth is in the match. Like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yo, your disdain for R-Truth is next level. What did he do to you? What does R-Truth do to you?
Look at R-Truth when he's out there. If that brother ain't shucking and jiving any chance he gets, goddamn it. Like, I'm tired of seeing him. And he keeps getting these matches, and Vince loves it because he sucks and jives. It's like Uncle Tom's Cabin in this mug. But I'm watching this match. I think there's a point where we have four faces and one heel in the ring. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why are we what are we doing? And then Ryback wins. And I'm like, yeah, Ryback is Intercontinental Champion? Really?
And we just saw him have a whack match kind of against Bray. Like, Bray looked pretty good. Bray went over on him. And I thought that was the push for Bray.
Me too.
And then you come and give him the belt. Unless you're going to continue the Bray-Ryback rivalry.
No, you
watched. And have Bray take the belt.
But you watched Raw. You know what they did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Big Show. This is what you – anybody who's strong – Big Show comes because he's going to get suplexed. It's so boring because everybody knows
he's going to shell shock.
Yeah, everybody knows Big Show's never going to win again.
No, ever.
His life is enhancement talent.
But if you lose to the Big Show.
Well, that means you suck.
You're out
of here. Fell out of favor with somebody. You screwed up. All right, let's talk about that title match.
Title match. We have Rollins versus Ambrose. Dope match. Ambrose, they threw some great moves in that one, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they. Just seeing them go over the table and just really sell everything on the Ambrose dive. And it just looks like they're so comfortable fighting each other.
They were quite familiar with one.
Yeah, so they're just great wrestlers. Like, and, you know, whether it was them working on the same team in the Shield or, you know, just
FCW
going through
days.
NXT. And, yeah, just – they were actually in two separate promotions, right?
Yeah.
ROH yeah. and then for
and
Black.
CZW.
And then
they got to FCW, the enhancement promotion of WWE, and that's when they started really working together.
Okay.
So, yeah, but they're really familiar with each other.
Yeah, and it just came across really well. And it was growing great. And only thing you had to do was let Seth lose. Even if it's for a night, let him lose. Let Ambrose walk away with the title and have Triple H job him the next the next opening segment of Raw. Have Triple H, you know, put together some type of crazy gauntlet for him and lose the title at the end to Rollins again. You know, make him fight three or four people. And then Rollins comes at the end and swoops in and wins the title back. That's all you have to do. Give Ambrose his moment. Give the fans their moment. And they couldn't do that.
But it's a dusty finish. It's a false finish. And for a middling pay-per-view that wasn't supposed to be like a big deal, the fact that Ambrose won but didn't win and we got a chance to see him with the title was good enough for me. Because it looked like he won clean. It takes you back to when Jericho beat Triple H on Raw and Hebner had to reverse his decision. Like, everybody felt good about it. Like, we all know Ambrose isn't going to be champ. And there was no reason for it really to exchange hands because there may be something in place for Rollins to hold this title for a long time.
Nah, he can't hold it for a long time.
Why not?
Because Reigns is right there.
Nah,
and that's who we see at the end of the match. And they're doing the slow burn. And he's going to win the Money in the Bank. And we already know Triple H called him out. There's the gauntlet for Reigns. And Reigns is going to snatch it. And it's going to be a triple threat match. And, Reigns is going to win.
I'm going to tell you this. Pay very close attention. Because the WWE is planting some interesting seeds right now. Like, if you watch the Bellas match, which I didn't care for, but then you saw Brie.
You might be the only one.
Yeah. And Brie comes out at the end, and you kind of think, is she going to turn on Nikki? If you look at Reigns and how happy he is watching Ambrose take his spot, there's a turn coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, his heel turn is set up perfectly.
It's coming. It's coming in some way, shape, or fashion.
My idea with that is SummerSlam, we see an incredible match again. I don't know what it is. No disqualification, street brawl, because they love that shit with Ambrose versus Rollins for the title. And those two are beating the hell out of each other. False count anywhere, all this stuff. They get back to the ring. Ambrose is there with Rollins. We see Roman Reigns cash in his Money in the Bank a month and a half later and win the title. He's going to Rollins him, which makes sense. Rollins did the same exact thing to Reigns at WrestleMania. Reigns is going to do the shit to Rollins at SummerSlam. And walk away with the belt.
I'll tell you why that's not going to work. Great idea, but this guy named Brock Lesnar is going to be back soon.
Brock, you can't give the belt back to Brock.
No, but this is what happens. Reigns costs Brock the title at SummerSlam. Reigns and Lesnar's a program. It gives Rollins more shelf life as champion because Brock's not coming directly after Rollins. And it makes Reigns a heel. You know Lesnar's going to be ultra hot as a face.
Yeah. I think he's coming back as a face.
I mean, you can't help it. There's nothing you can do. Like, whatever you do, whenever Lesnar comes back, they're going to cheer for him. So, Lesnar, Rollins, one-on-one at SummerSlam. Reigns is going to cost him that title shot. Reigns is going to be heel. And we're going to get Reigns and Lesnar at the next couple of pay-per-views. Because that program is already built up. And there's no reason we're going to see Reigns and Lesnar at WrestleMania next year for the title. You know, I don't know who we're going to see for the title at WrestleMania next year, to be honest.
Who knows? Who knows who's up by that
point?
Could
be,
who
it could
knows
be Kevin Owens. Like, we have no idea.
Yo, that's...
We're so far off from booking WrestleMania right now.
We don't even know when Finn comes up. Like, what if Finn comes up and just wins the Rumble? Like,
we have no idea. That's what
his entrance at the Rumble would be so bananas.
Yeah, everybody would stop. Everybody in the ring would stop and just, like, watch him come down and then throw
it to continue the fight.
Yeah. But I think that's what happens. I think Reigns is like a heel, and it's coming. Like, he's too happy being next to Dean Ambrose. And Ambrose is going to steal his thunder. And Ambrose will still lose, and Reigns will be like, sorry, buddy, I'm the Money in the Bank guy, blah, blah, blah. And he'll hold it. He won't cash it in, but he's going to cost Lesnar a title shot. He's going to cost Lesnar a title, and they're going to start a program because we need something to do from August to December.
No, that's true. That's true. And I feel like it used to be a way shorter time between SummerSlam and the Rumble. But
nah, it feels like forever.
It is super long.
It's Survivor Series. And Survivor Series ain't what Survivor Series used to be.
All right. So. And there's another pay-per-view. So Money in the Bank. I already said I think Roman's winning it. Who do you have for Money in the Bank?
Dude, Kofi Kingston.
Kofi?
Why is he in the match?
I don't know.
God
we
damn
have
it.
Neville now.
It's better than R-Truth. So whatever.
As Someone well, has to jive for Vince.
Damn it.
No, but no, Neville's going to do the same thing. Yeah. Like, he's a high flyer. He's the
he's
guy
the Jeff
you can
Hardy.
Throw off of stuff,
He's like
right?
the Jeff Hardy of this thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's the Shelton Benjamin of the ladder match. He's going to come in, do something crazy, and he's going to lose. But, yeah, Reigns is going to win it. I mean, Orton's not going to win it.
No, Orton can't win it. Even though Orton might RKO everybody.
He will.
Get speared.
He'll do something. He'll probably RKO Neville out of a red arrow.
Oh, that'd be so dope.
And it, but I don't know if that's
It's still the show.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Money in the Bank. That's WrestleMania type stuff right there.
Oh, I don't. That's
did you,
crazy.
Did you watch Raw?
I watched Raw.
Would you, like, after watching that pay-per-view, like, Elimination Chamber as good as it was, like, the Owens-Cena promo was really good.
Yeah.
And, like, Owens was really good because he kind of played into his son liking Cena.
Yeah, and then he kind of just sat back and Cena, once again, Cena just off the top, just going out there and having someone to play.
He's good.
Against and just going like, you know, let's not script this. Let's feed off everything. He pulls a kid with cancer out the crowd. Like,
I mean,
God, he spots everything. Like
he's,
yo, that's incredible. Like yeah. he's honestly there in the moment. And he's just pointing at people, and he sees this kid, and he just ties everything in, and then brings it back around to Owen's son and all
I'm
this.
I'm the
shit.
Reason you're here. Like,
oh,
you're good, John Cena.
That's Cena. You know what? For as much as people hate him, shit, he's good. That's it.
He's had some great matches. Like, we talk about Five Moves of Doom and all that. Yo, Cena's had some great matches. And the Owens Cena is just the latest chapter of Cena having great matches and people don't really appreciate him. I hate John Cena to a certain extent because I'm tired of him winning all the time. But when I look over the course of the career, he's had some really damn good matches.
Yeah, yo, and this Owens feud is exactly what Owens needed. It plays in perfectly. His son happened to be a Cena fan, like, well-documented. Owens fights for his family, but Cena's his hero, like... His son might come out during a match, and his son might just be torn and, you know, run to Cena and celebrate with Cena and just break Kevin Owens' heart. There's so many different plays because it's so authentic.
Yep.
And they can go any way. So I can't wait to see how that develops. And Raw was great because of it. I mean, the Reigns parade.
Yeah, three matches.
Three.
And then he, like,
one
okay.
versus Mark Henry. Yep. Like, it was a way. The Barrett one was whack. Mark Henry one was like, eh.
But then you beat Bray Wyatt. After fighting two other people, that kind of cheapens Bray Wyatt. Like, why?
It does. Bray actually had a decent match, though.
Yeah, and can we talk about, okay, Rusev is hurt, right?
Yeah.
So we don't see him. So what do we get? We get Lana just standing there ogling Dolph Ziggler? Like,
and then Rusev comes and looks like the saddest man in the world.
Yo, it was so good.
Crutches.
Yo, it was so good, though. Like, Rusev's promo was probably one of the best promos he cut because he was really, like, he looked hurt. He looked straight butt hurt. And I was like, yo, I feel for this guy.
Yeah, he's like, I lost my belt. I lost my girl.
My belt and my bitches.
But, like, yo, can't do nothing. Yo, I felt for him. Like, man, that was his Drake moment of the year.
Yeah, he got real emo, and I loved every moment of it. I can't wait for Rusev to
I can't out. Wait to see someone, all my Photoshop people out there, please put the Jordan cry face on Rusev from Raw.
Right now.
Right now. I need that as soon as this podcast is over. Go and do that, because I need that in my life.
Indeed, indeed.
So WWE is crazy. Actually, we'll talk more about it next week, because we're going to be previewing the pay-per-view. coming up in Money in the Bank in more depth, and we got to talk ROH.
Well, yeah, they just signed a deal with Destination America. Now, first of all, who the hell knew what Destination America was before TNA and ROH went there? What the hell is on Destination America?
Ain't shit. They better just play ROH all day. There's a lot of years to catch up on. Yeah, I need a marathon.
You know, I mean, they're showing. I think they're showing the same thing they show on the Sinclair Network. I think they're piggybacking off of that. I don't know if they'll get better quality, but yeah, I don't know. Destination America just seems like a hunting channel to me. Like, it's like I watch wrestling and watch mooses get shot in the face.
Hey, I've never seen it, but I'm intrigued because ROH is on there. So we'll watch some ROH. They have a huge card coming up.
Yeah, Best in the World's coming up.
Best in the World, so we'll talk about that next week as well. But when we come back from this quick break, we got to talk boxing. Yeah, we ain't forget for all our boxing fans and
briefly,
all that.
Briefly,
you know, it's a quiet time for boxing. The quiet before the storm, before it picks up again. So we'll talk real quick, and then we'll get you guys out of here.
Yep.
All right, stay tuned. All right, welcome back. We told you guys we'll talk a little bit of boxing before we get out of here. Yep. So we are here talking about Amir Khan and his fight last week versus Chris Algieri. It was actually a pretty good fight, better than I thought it'd be.
Well, that's the problem. It was as better as I thought it was. And I watched Amir Khan, and I was like, you're going to fight Floyd Mayweather? No. Like, Chris Algieri doesn't hit hard.
At all.
He's got like six knockouts. But he still managed to rock Amir Khan. Why the hell should Amir Khan get the Floyd Mayweather fight based off of this performance?
Because it was exciting enough. People enjoyed it for free television. And Floyd is looking at it like, I can go out with a KO? I'm on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the best way to Floyd to go out right now. Go out with a KO.
I've always felt
that way. If anything, Manny got to break bread. Manny got to take 80-20. Even if you leave a KO, you can retire 49-0. I ain't coming back. And they coax you into coming back, I better get 400 mil this time.
Yo, so I'm watching the Khan-Algieri fight, and I'm watching Khan get hit with these shots, and I'm thinking, yeah, Mayweather probably put him to sleep. But then I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to see Khan fight Mayweather. I want to see Khan fight Kell Brook.
Oh, everyone wants to see that fight, but he's scared of Kell. He don't want to mess up the payday.
Yo, he's deathly afraid of Kell Brook, because Kell Brook will beat the hell out of him. And not for nothing, like, Khan, he's a good fighter. It's just, I was just not impressed. Like, yo, Chris Algieri's a good fighter, but there's no way in hell that he should be hurting you. Nah, Floyd's going to, he's going to beat the hell out of Amir Khan.
That's the Floyd people have been waiting to see, though, right? They want to see the Floyd standing and trading.
Yeah, but then what happens if Floyd doesn't knock him out?
That Floyd wins and takes his money home.
I guess he gets our money either way, right? He's going to get our money either way for his last fight.
Do you expect a knockout when Floyd fights?
Nah, but I mean, I know better. But I'm just saying, if you're going to knock somebody out, it's going to be Amir Khan. Like, he's the guy that you look at and be like, I'm going to knock your ass out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're that the bully guy on the playground. Yeah. You don't pick on the 6'2" Samoan.
Nah,
you pick on the 5'5" kid with glasses. That is Amir Khan.
Or you pick on the guy that you've seen cry in the corner. Like, he's like, oh, he looks tough, but I know I can make that bitch cry. Come here, bitch, and punch him in the face and watch him cry. That's what Floyd's going to do with Amir Khan.
Khan will sell it. He'll talk. He gets the international audience. It'll be good. It'll be a good look. It'll be an easy win. Floyd can take his money. He can possibly get a knockout. And he should be okay. And Khan is nowhere near the level of fighter, even at 147.
Nah. He just doesn't.
But who else does Mayweather have? What, Danny Garcia is going to move up from 140 and take his first fight at 147?
No.
You're going to fight Cotto again, who is now fighting at 157. We'll talk about Cotto in a second.
Perhaps.
You're going to fight Cotto again?
Middleweight title. It's a belt that Floyd Mayweather doesn't have.
I mean, at this point, he ain't going to defend it. Like, he's just walking away anyway.
I mean, but true. But to add another notch under your Hall of Fame career and to say that I owned a title belt as a middleweight, which would be retarded because everybody would go back and be like, yo, you fought him at a catchweight. But nobody cares. This is what Miguel Cotto does. That makes sense because Cotto gave him hell in that fight. He busted Floyd up pretty good.
Yeah, he did. They can run promos of the old fight.
Yeah.
But Cotto's not the same Cotto, even though, you know, he's bounced back, but he beat Sergio. And
on one leg. He beat one leg like, Sergio Martinez.
So, I mean, he's not going to touch Floyd. Floyd's going to dance around him. Floyd's not the same Floyd he was, but he's
But isn't that the case with everybody?
Good.
Isn't that the case with everybody that faces Floyd right now?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to sacrifice mainstream appeal if you get a good name in there. If you get a Keith Thurman in there, you sacrifice buys because people don't know what Keith Thurman is.
That's the dumbest shit I've heard. Not you, But the dumbest shit I've heard this weekend is from Amir Khan's camp when they say, if we don't get the Floyd fight, we're going to fight Amir Khan, or we're going to fight Keith Thurman.
Yeah, Keith Thurman's like, please, please.
Like, excuse me?
Lunch.
Wait, so your backup plan to Floyd is Keith Thurman? Did you just see Khan get hit?
But,
like,
again,
you guys don't want a payday ever, ever, ever again in life because Thurman will take his face off.
Like, make sense of this to me. You fight Kell Brook in the UK. That fight is huge in the UK.
And it's winnable. That's what's crazy. For Khan, it is winnable.
But he'll lose. Kell Brook is a better boxer. He's just better. Kell Brook looks good.
Khan got the name.
But that's my point. Khan's got the name. We'll watch it in the States. It's a great fight, but come on, man.
Like, I don't trust refs.
I don't trust him either. But
Brook
fighting.
Ain't knocking him out.
Hey.
He's going to the distance. It's in the UK. Khan got a little bit more of a name. Amir might take that.
But let it happen. But that's why Amir should take that fight. There's all that money in that fight. What you going to fight Keith Thurman for?
Get knocked out.
You want to die?
One time.
You want to be a casualty?
Knocked out one time.
You want to be a casualty, man. Like, don't do that to yourself. I'm sorry, but
Keith Thurman and Triple G are the two guys no one wants to fight. And someone's going to have to fight him.
And I mean, and the problem with Keith Thurman, and it's not really a problem, is the fact that he was so hittable against Robert Guerrero that he would take two to give three. That it makes people think that they can beat him. Triple G is just like a guy that's like, I can't beat him. Never mind.
Yeah. Nah, with Keith, to me, Keith's next options, the big fight options, are either Amir Khan or Danny's going to fight Keith on his way up.
That'd be the dumbest thing for Danny Carter to ever do.
I mean, but that's what PBC has to do. Like, they want to make these great matches. They want to make the Broner and the Porters. They want to make the...
True.
Even Thurman versus Guerrero, like, you know, they'll give him like a cheap little fight in between. Like, yo, go home and fight. Like, he's fighting in Tampa or something.
Right.
Go home and fight. But your next fight is going to be a big fight. Big fight, cupcake. Big fight, cupcake. And they'll do that. And you can sell guys that way.
Yep.
Just like Wilder. Wilder, your next fight got to be against someone at least with a name.
Well, he's fighting Eric Molina in Alabama in his backyard.
Yeah, so,
so
this is his cupcake fight. Next fight, let's put you in there against someone else. Tyson Fury is not going to fight him.
He's going to have to sooner or later. Like, if all roads lead to a Klitschko for anybody in the heavyweight division, you're going to have to fight Deontay Wilder. Like, Tyson Fury can't avoid him, and he'll get killed. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Tyson Fury, but once again, a decent enough name for Wilder. And they're going to have to put these on back and forth. And Khan is going to have to take something. He's going to have to take something tough. He's reached that level. He's talked himself into the level where there's no more easy fights. You thought Danny Garcia was tough. You are in a higher division, and people can punch.
Yeah.
There's no more easy ones. Yeah. You ask for tough fighters, you're going to get tough fighters.
Now, like I said, I thought Amir Khan was looking great at 147 when he got there, and then I watched him against Algeria, and I was like, oh, I remember that guy. He's not that good.
Pulled the okey-doke. Like the girl who's in a club, and it gets real dark. You'd be like, oh, yo, she's a hype.
Yep.
And then lights come on, you'd be like,
ain't worth it.
Nah, that's one of those you don't put on Snapchat or IG, but you still take her home. So it's like, that's Amir Khan.
It's your dirty little secret.
Yeah, that's Amir Khan.
I enjoy this in privacy.
Like, yo, Amir Khan, I'll take her. You know, Floyd told Khan, what, no, three times now? But you know, four times the charm, yo. Like, you can only tell the ugly girl at the club no so many times, but you show up all the time, you get a little too tipsy once. You know?
You finally give her a dance.
Yeah.
Khan will probably get his dance. That's it.
That's Khan.
So, also this weekend, you got Miguel Cotto against Daniel Gill, right? At a cash weight of 157 for Cotto's middleweight title, which is a 160-pound title. Cotto's kind of earned this weird right to do what he wants to do because he's Miguel Cotto. Because he's not a – how you win the middleweight title and you don't fight 160 pounds is beyond me. But aside from Mayweather and Pacquiao, Cotto's got the best resume easily in boxing. He's fought everybody. So he's kind of earned the right to fight who he wants to fight and do what he wants to do. However, Daniel Gill is not anybody that anybody cares to see. You know, Gill's like a guy who has lost two of his last four fights, and one of them was a three-round destruction to Gennady Golovkin. And if Cotto doesn't knock him out, people are going to say, even if it's Barclays, it's Puerto Rican Day Parade's coming up. Like, he's got to look good. Like, he can't just waste any time. But it's Roc Nation. It's his first night on his $50 million Roc Nation contract.
That's a good deal. I'm not going to lie. It's a good deal. But does that take him out of the Floyd running? With the Jay-Z, Heyman?
That's what I've always had a problem with.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that a couple times. So yeah. For 50 mil, I'll do it. I mean, he ain't going to get 50 mil fighting Floyd.
Nah, you know.
He ain't
Pacquiao. What we're seeing with Miguel Cotto is he's kind of being matched up the right way. Like the Martinez fight is like, ooh, Sergio's got a bad wheel. Let's take him. And it's like, Gil, we'll make Gil lose an extra 3 pounds, and let's take him. And I don't know who he fights next.
Not Triple G.
Well, no, I don't think he ever fights Triple G. I really think.
Good job by them.
Yeah, smart. You don't want to die. Like, you don't want to end your career on your back, you know, at the hospital. But Canelo Cotto was going to happen. That's, like, inevitable.
I feel like that's the September fight.
Yeah. That, well, nah, I don't know if it's September. I think it's Cinco de Mayo, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. A year away.
Yeah. I think we're a year away from it. I think Cotto will take another decent fight. I don't know against who. Maybe he'll fight, like, Cornelius Bundridge or something like that. And then May, Cinco de Mayo weekend, because you don't have to compete with Mayweather because he'll hopefully be gone. That's what everybody's hoping. And you fight Canelo on Mexican Independence Day, Puerto Rico versus Mexico.
Huge fight.
Everybody goes crazy.
I thought
crazy.
That was the fight that should have been made this year.
It was the fight I wanted to see more than Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Yeah.
In terms of action. So that's where we go. This Gil fight, I'm going to watch it, but I'm not going to care. I'm going to watch it in passing. I'm going to be doing some other stuff. So
before we get out of here, you're on the Deontay Wilder conference call today.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about what he said in a possible Klitschko fight. We touched on Wilder a little bit a second ago, but before we get out of here, you got to tell us, is it happening? What up?
I mean, you know, Wilder, he was on his own. I'm not going to look past this guy because, you know, if I don't look past this guy and I lose, and it's irrelevant. That's how what Wilder
like
was talking about.
The down south Bama accent you got going. That's beautiful.
That's your man, Deontay Wilder. He's fighting Eric Molina, who got knocked out in his professional debut, and he got knocked out by Chris Arreola. So he's a punching bag. He's going to come in there and get wrecked, put Wilder back on his knockout streak. The Klitschko fight is going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. I mean, I guess I do know what you're waiting for. Build up Deontay a little bit more. You know, he just seemed
he like needs that televised knockout.
Yeah.
He hasn't had that televised. He killed somebody.
Yeah.
He's put him on a meme knockout.
And he might do it in his backyard at Alabama. So good for him. You know, the interesting thing that Wilder said is that he has the potential to be bigger than Mayweather because of his charisma and his knockout power. That's interesting.
I saw the fight when he won the belt. Him, Stavern. There was stars here. MGM was rocking.
It's heavyweights, man.
The heavyweight vibe. People were just so thirst for it. And that was a great fight. It was a great fight. Like, not in ring. Like, the build up, the atmosphere, and the bigger his name becomes, the bigger the fight will be. And if they have it here, Klitschko comes here to Vegas, it might be bigger than Mayweather. The money's not going to be bigger. Because they're not shelling
not
out
that
payday
not
for anyone.
Right.
But you want something for the new arena? You know, something as a staple of the new arena? That's one of the fights you have to make. Along with the Cinco de Mayo, you know, Cotto, Canelo in the new joint, packet full of the Mexican crowd. And then you have Wilder, the American heavyweight champ, maybe that next fall versus Klitschko.
Very possible.
I'm telling you, that's what they got to do. That's the boxing plan. They need to cut me a check, man. I could do this.
I mean, you know,
want to promote? We can promote.
Let's promote boxing. Let's book WWE and let's book MMA.
Cut the check, people.
Two black guys booking all your fights.
Before we get out of here, let's promo everything. So you guys can find us on Twitter. The Corner LSN is our Twitter and our Instagram.
Yep.
So it's The Corner LSN. The mailbag, which is thecornerpod@gmail.com. Sorry, the mailbag like whacked out on us last week. So if you guys did send us something, resend it and we'll answer your questions next week. We're going to put in like a good 20, 30 minutes for the mailbag stuff. And we're actually going to have that up on our YouTube channel, which is the next plug. Subscribe to that. It's The Corner Podcast on YouTube. We clip away like segments of this show, some other shows. We'll start recording behind the scenes stuff, and then we'll answer mailbag stuff on there as well, the stuff we don't get to on air. So
you know, I got a little bit of hate for you right now.
There's hate?
Yeah. Where are you going tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow I will be covering the NBA finals. I'll be in Oakland.
Hate.
Out in Oaktown. Y'all have never been to the Bay, so this is going to be a dope trip in both regards.
How's your first trip to the Bay, the NBA Finals?
NBA Finals, yo. Steph Curry, the real star of the show, Riley. I'm see, you know, LeBron, Kyrie, be up there for 4 days covering game 1 and 2. And then I'm assuming there's a game 5, so I'll be back up there for game 5. And we'll see if I got to go up there for game 7 and catch the private jet back down so we can go to the fight and cover that.
That's hey. You doing big things, bro.
Hey, man, I'm trying to be like you. You know, you're Mr. Exclusive.
Hey, you know,
I'm trying to move up in the world.
I'm jealous. I covered the Grammys and Billboard and all of these fights and all this stuff. I've never covered the NBA Finals, so.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't either. We got to talk about that on our show next week.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when you see Steph Curry, tell him, like, it's cool. You can have your kid up there every once in a while, but only special moments. Like, I don't want to see kids everywhere at every damn press conference. I don't want to see that.
Every home one. Every home and one should be up there.
And then this doesn't mean for everybody else start bringing their ugly kids and their baby mama kids up there. Like, dog, man. Like, if you win
a baby cousin Chico.
Yeah, it's like you win a home game. You know, it's a game 32 of the NBA season. Don't bring your cousin's daughter on. Like, cut it out. Like, it's cute because there's big moments for Steph Curry. So, I get it with Riley. I just don't want to see everybody's kids on stage.
Yeah, yo. Next week, you might have to take a picture of me. I might just be big time up in here. I might have a full-length mink like Dej Loaf. You never know how I show up with a nice curl or something.
Oh, man.
Yo, I'm telling you, I might just be all brand new next week. I don't know. I can't call it. You guys got to tune in again for the next episode of The Corner to see how I come in here. Stunting.
Yeah, probably. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm going to talk to you about it. But, again, you know, follow me, at Andreas Hale. Follow Kel. He'll give you his
@Twitter. Kel Dansby. It's pretty simple.
It's very easy. Unless you can't spell. Like,
yeah, that is
then
rough.
You have problems. So, you know, join us next week. We'll be talking about more stuff, more fire. We'll talk about Kel's trip. We'll talk about more wrestling and whatever the hell
everything,
else.
Whatever else strikes.
Yeah. We got some guests next week. It was just us this week, so we got to shoot the breeze.
Oh, yeah, we get to talk hip-hop and all that next week. Bring in some guests.
Yeah, got some cats. So.
Yeah, we're back at it. So all stay tuned. Check out the next episode of The Corner.
And we out.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could.